American Christian, how you doing? Pete Cooper with Heart of the Father Ministries.
Dr. David Nichols.
Man Alive, we've got a show for you today.
Oh my word.
Doc, do the honors.
Man, oh man, we got a team that came back here from Tanzania. Yeah. Fired up, filled with the Holy Ghost, pumped and ready to go. I mean, basically, I would say they saw the New Testament on display over in Africa.
So we did.
And that's Jenny Almquist there, folks. She was part of this team. And what a blessing to have her on the team. So welcome to the program, Jenny.
Thank you so much.
It's going to
so
be
glad
amazing.
To be here.
Yeah. So why don't you start, Jenny, by just telling us the impression that the trip made on your spiritual life, just in a minute or two to kick things off.
Oh my gosh, Doc, where do you even begin with that?
That's what
I
asked you.
Where do you even start? There's like, no, you can't, you have to go. Like, that's, I mean, I knew I had to go.
Oh, so
and
you're.
God transformed my life.
So
and
you're
he transformed others.
You're a phenomenologist, then, in other words.
I am. Yeah. I'm in.
Okay. All right.
I'm in.
All right. That's good. Yeah. So
I'm so hungry.
Yeah, so what would you say that is? What's the impact on you in a few words?
I cannot put a finger on it. It was completely transformative. That's all I can say. It transformed my life,
yeah.
My thinking, every aspect of my life.
Well, that is an excellent way to describe it. I think you did a good job.
Okay,
now,
great.
Jenny, one thing that happened when you were over there, I've been told, is you experienced what is called deliverance.
Yes.
And
yes.
On the team there, of course, was a wonderful man of God named Pastor Lloyd Olds from northern Minnesota. Uh-huh. And so he was with you guys there. And we'd like to hear today from you what that was like as you came to understand that some of these passages we read in the New Testament where Jesus or the church leaders began taking authority over demon spirits and casting them out, what it was like when you realized you needed that yourself.
Well, to start out, I came to Christ, and I sealed for eternity, for all eternity.
Right.
Jesus came into my heart and sealed me for that day when I go and be home with Him.
Right.
But for 20 years of my Christian walk, I felt like I was crazy. Like I got to know the scriptures, I read the whole Bible front and back. But there was something missing. Like something would always trigger me. I would be either way up or way down, and or I'd be crying all the time. And I was like, what is going on? Like, what's wrong with me? Why is Jesus not enough? Why is it that Romans 8:11 says the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you? And why do I not see that? Why do I not know that? Why can't? You know, I just had these questions.
Right.
And I questioned for a long time. And then I went through a class called The Path to Sexual Healing because I was molested and raped 3 different times growing up. And so that had a major effect on me. Didn't know how big it was. I went through this class and had a healing from the sexual sin part, and that was very transformative.
Praise God.
But there was still something.
Right.
So, Lord, we're going to start the beginning of our trip. Pete says, oh, Lloyd can't come. We really wanted to have Lloyd, and I just said, nope, Lloyd's coming. And sure enough, Lloyd came on the trip because I knew in my spirit he was going to come. And during the trip, first of all, we get to Africa, I start to get a migraine.
Hmm.
And Lloyd lays his hands on me, prays for me twice. It breaks about 2:30 in the morning, okay? Well, then the next day or two, I had this serious, horrendous back pain, like so bad. Lloyd says, hey, Jenny, let's get together. Let's just pray, see what comes out, see what comes up. And I'm like, oh, okay. We'll just go, you know, pray. Comes in the room and Pete's there. And we read the statement, you know, that Jesus is King, Jesus is Lord, and there's a statement. So I read that, get through the statement. And he starts to pray for me. And all of a sudden, there's a tightness in my chest. Like he says, okay, any point I'm praying and you hear something or you feel something, let me know. So all of a sudden, I get this pain actually in my stomach. And I was like, it hurts really bad in my stomach. And he's like, okay. And then all of a sudden, he just starts to say, all right, guys, in the name of Jesus, you have no authority here. You hold no crown here. You need to get out in Jesus' name. Get out, guys. Come on. Time to get out. And the pain was increased. And
that's usually what happens when deliverance begins, is the demons try to make it worse so you'll back off and not press in.
Right.
Yes. Well, then pretty soon it's in my chest, and the pain is there, and I'm like, oh, it's in my chest. Like, I couldn't breathe. It was a weight on my chest. And he's like, all right, Jen, just cough it up. Like, cough it up. So I start coughing, and then this phlegm starts coming up, and it's pretty horrendous. And then I feel on my neck like someone had grabbed a hold of my neck and wanting to suck the life out of me. And he's like, all right, guys, come on, line up. Up and out, guys, let's go. Up and out. And he's like, you have no authority here. She is a child of God. You need to go. Let's go, guys. Come on. Come on. Get up. Let's go. Line up. Up and out, guys. And then I'm thrown to the ground. I start coughing and I'm throwing up and I'm screaming in a towel. And like a blood-curdling scream is coming forth. And then I'm coughing and before I know it's an hour and a half, I'm on the ground and I'm exhausted, but I feel a sense of peace. And then, so we stopped after an hour and a half, and then we revisited when we went to back to Mwanza. We were in Mwanza, and come back to Lloyd's room, and Pete's there, and you know Pete's praying for me the whole time, and he said, "All right, guys. Here's the deal. You are not going to react. You're not going to manifest. You're not going to scream. You're not going to act out here. And you're going to come up and out. All right? In the name of Jesus." So I read this statement again, that Jesus Christ is my King. He's Lord. And he starts talking to the demons. Come up and out. Let's go. Pretty soon, I feel my spine, like someone has a hold of my spine, squeezing it and not letting go. And he's like, he sees a vision of an octopus holding on with tentacles. And then as I'm coughing, as I'm feeling it leave, I felt tentacles leave my body. It was the craziest. I can't explain what happened, but I felt like they're breaking off and he was releasing his hold over me. That was incredible. And so then the pain left, demons came out, and I was free.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Wee. Man alive, Jen.
So you were actually, there were two sessions you were involved in altogether, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one was pretty exhausting. And we knew, we did know that we were going to go back in, because things were being revealed that there was a hidden demon that was hiding. Lloyd had called that out, and so we knew that, okay, when we get back to Mwanza, we're going to deal with this. But the thing about Mwanza was this, is that there's staff in Mwanza, and there's people walking around in Mwanza. It's a little more, you know, occupied space, right?
Yeah.
And if there's going to be screaming and blood-curdling anything going on, that's going to draw some attention that might not be favorable to us in the process, right? So that was the reason that Lloyd had really called these things into silence. You will not speak. You will not come out in such a way.
What a wonderful testimony for you, Jenny. And
can I add on to that, Doc?
Sure.
What?
Sure.
So, when I got to Africa, we got to Dar es Salaam, and I saw things after, I think, the first or second night of the crusade. And I took everything that I knew, and I threw it out the window, except for the Bible and my scripture memory. I threw everything, because what I had been taught for 20 years is that at salvation, Jesus kicked out the demons. There's nothing in you. You are sealed. There's nothing else. Jesus is it.
Mm.
And so I, in my room, and literally took my hands and I whipped stuff out the window, and I lifted my hands in the air as I was crying, and I said, I believe. Jesus, I believe. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do with me, whatever you want to do here, I believe. And because I had been praying, help me in my unbelief.
Yeah.
Help me. So he did.
He did big time.
Yeah. So how real, you know, we talked a little bit about this, Jen, in the former podcast, but just this idea behind unbelief, and how real is unbelief?
You know, I didn't, it's so real. It's so real. It's like, oh, I believe it for you, but not for me. You know, and that's the kind of unbelief I'm seeing here in America.
Right.
You know, unbelief is so prevalent here. I come back, and I mean, you see people vehemently come against you because this is something new and something spirit-driven. And I mean, it's tangible. You can feel it in the room, unbelief. You can feel it. People walk away. They get up and walk away when you start talking about oppression from demons.
Yeah, and you had experienced that just a few days ago, right? I mean,
because
we came back into town 4 days ago?
Friday.
If on Friday. Today's Tuesday. And so you were sharing that, but you had noticed, and it was kind of the other thing that you and I had talked about when we were in Africa was this, even though we didn't understand any of the words, we did not understand the language, we were seeing the evidence of the kingdom at work, right?
Yes, yes.
So yes. Here it is now that we're back in the States, you're starting to talk about healing and demonic oppression, and you've got people that are putting their fingers in their ear. They don't want to hear it.
And yelling at me in church.
Oh. Oh.
Yelling
in church.
Whoa.
In church.
Well.
Like, she was crying and yelling at me. Because I think it challenged her belief system. Mm. And she didn't know what to do with it because, wait, what?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it comes in your face and you say, wait, I have a choice to make here.
Right. And here's the thing about unbelief. Unbelief in other people can never defeat you unless you let it.
Amen. Yeah.
Because you are now filled with faith and love, and you're going to stand in the face of unbelief wherever you find it.
Yeah.
Now, Jenny, your testimony leads us to really talk to our listeners here about a very important topic, and that is the issue of Christians and demons. Because you clearly said you were a Christian for 20 years. You went to church, you read your Bible, you did the thing, and so forth. And yet there were demons in you.
Yeah.
And there's even an organization, actually I'm ordained by them, called the Assemblies of God, that has an official doctrine that says Christians cannot be demon-possessed. And I think we should walk into that today, because that's a real important topic.
It is, because it does lay, yes. it would absolutely lay hold to this situation.
It would. Yeah. So what I have done, yes. I have really gone back, in my experiences with this, of course, which are many, one of them at Kahama, where you were with the former madman 13 years ago, really forced me back into the scriptures to check this out. And I'm just going to state publicly right now that I agree with the Assemblies of God official position. A Christian uh-huh. cannot be demon-possessed, and neither can yes. anybody else. And let me explain that, what I mean by that. Okay, the Greek verb, daimonizomai, is the one that is used just about every time someone is delivered of a demon in the Bible. Okay, in the New Testament, daimonizomai. Uh-huh. And the best literal translation of that word is to be demonized. And if we would just simply let that be the translation and forget about this concept of possession, which I think actually has come from the devil himself. Mm. The devil would like people to believe that he can own them. Because when we say possessed in English, that's what we mean.
Absolutely.
You possess your car. You possess your house. Uh-huh. You possess uh-huh. your dress. Whatever thing it is, you own it, in other words. So in other words, you possess it to the point you can do whatever you want with it. And that is a lie from hell.
You can do whatever you want with it.
Now, there are degrees of control that demon spirits get by being in people or on people or around people, and there are various uh-oh. Degrees of demonization, as you found out. But you saw this, Jenny, not only for yourself, but you watched night by night as people were right. taken into the deliverance tent.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Tell us what you saw there, please.
Well, as so interesting, every night, 5 nights in a row, every night, the gospel was preached, half the people would leave. And then Bishop would get up and pray, and then all of a sudden, here they are, they're coming back again. And it seemed like there was more people than there was before. And then the people down below the stage, there was people set up to go and pray. But they don't pray, oh, Jesus, you know, fill them with your Holy Spirit. You know, it's not, no, they actually come in and they say, in the name of Jesus, get out. Because they're very familiar with demonization. They understand it. They understand, and they want people to be free. Because the word says, John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And so they understand that, hey, you know what, we're going to make you free. Not just, you're going to be free, not just free.
Right. Right. So tell us specifically what you saw happen in the demon tent.
So they would lay hands on them and pray. And I saw such authority and power that I've never seen in my whole Christian walk. I mean, I was in awe and amazement. And all of a sudden, they would fall down, start screaming, screeching, kicking, like wriggling around, trying to get free, because they didn't want to be bothered. Because when you say, in the name of Jesus, get out, you can't be here. That's, you're speaking right to the demon. People, that's when the demon is just starts acting out. So they get delivered either onto the stage and they start praying for them and casting the demon out, or they go to the demon tent and they're there for quite some time. But it's very aggressive.
Yes.
This isn't some, you know, oh, Jesus. No, this is very aggressive, very assertive, very bold, and the power and authority. And then I see people walk out. in their right mind. I'm like,
right, right. Delivered and set free.
Right.
So, listener, what you're having described to you by an American woman who lives in Florida and went to Africa, she saw the Bible, the New Testament, played out right before her very eyes. Now, I want to use a couple of scriptures here, because some of you that are listening today are kind of, you're kind of wondering, all right? So let's start in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. And this is what he says to them. Verse 7 of Matthew chapter 10. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's
yes.
right in front of you where you can see it, okay? The yeah. kingdom of heaven. Then he says, and each one of these statements in verse 8 is called an imperative. It's not a suggestion. Mm-hmm. It's not a description of something that happened. It's a command to do something. Heal the wow. sick. And the understood verb there, which is not written in the text because it's always understood, even in English, it's the same as in Greek, okay? You heal the sick. You cleanse the lepers. You raise the dead. Mm. And here now, look at this one. You cast out demons.
Mm.
Freely you have received, freely give.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So
hallelujah.
In the very core of the gospel as it was started, this is, of course, what Jesus had already been doing now for months. Now we come in the account of Matthew to where he commissions the disciples
right.
to send them out. He tells them to do the same things he's been doing, which includes, and it is in a very prominent place, the casting out of demons.
Right.
And so, really, Jenny, I think you're touching on something here today that's so important for the church here in America. And I want to have us look over at another passage in Luke that explains when you were talking about, you noticed that there was something different in the authority
yes.
with which people came, such as Pastor Lloyd and those who were praying for the people that had the demons.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so in Luke chapter 4, we have the story. Pete and I did, we actually did a podcast on this where we called it Jesus Goes to Church.
okay. Yeah.
What happens when Jesus comes to church? Oh, it's all just nice symphony
oh, bless
music.
You.
And we just, yeah, Father's we smile at
you.
One another.
Hi.
And, hi,
can
how
I
are
pray
you?
For you?
Yeah.
Bless
yeah.
you.
No, actually, when Jesus goes to church, let's read it, actually. He went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Mm. Now, anytime that authority starts to get released into the spiritual environment, it brings a reaction from other beings that are in that environment, including demon spirits.
Hallelujah.
Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us?"
Ooh.
And the rhetorical answer to that rhetorical question is, "Yes." Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. But now look at verse 36. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is, for with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out."
Hallelujah.
And I would say today that that little key right there is what is so important for a believer, whether they're in America or whether they're in Africa or wherever they are,
yeah.
if they understand, yeah, they have an authority, but it's got to be linked together with power. The
yes.
authority you actually get by kind of like by inheritance, by being a child of God.
Yeah.
In fact, mm-hmm. Jenny, all those 20 years that you talked about, you had the authority, you just didn't know how to use it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But exactly. You had an experience, your brother Pete told me here, about 60 days ago, where you were baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that's where power came, dunamis is the Greek word, okay? And so you were actually set up by God for this trip. And what happened to you? Because when that authority and power comes together and is focused and concentrated to set a person free, there's really nothing that can stop it except unbelief in the person. Of course, that could slow it down or stop it. But you didn't let that happen.
She did not let that happen.
I did not.
Yeah.
And so here we have a scriptural foundation for what you're saying. And listener, I want you to understand this. This is what is coming to the United States of America. And we sit around and we say, oh, we want revival. We want God to move. We want a great awakening. Well, when it comes, this is what's going to be happening. Demons and their plans for people are going to be ended. They're going to be cast out, and they're going to be set free, as Jenny was here.
Yeah.
And when that starts happening to large numbers of people, you're going to say it's a revival.
Dude, I just had this thought. So when these demons get cast out, like Jenny's were, in Kahama, they're released into a region.
Yeah.
So what does it look like in the region? So we're up here in East Central Minnesota. Jenny's down in Pinellas County, Florida. And these demons start getting released and cast out. They're going to go somewhere. And if you don't know Jesus, and if you don't have power and authority to keep those things off of you, look, there's going to become a surplus of demons that need to go somewhere. So I'm just saying, you better get your life in order right now. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, one final thing here for our listeners today, because there's some of you maybe say, I don't know, you know, this thing of Christians having demons. Is it in the Bible? Well, I really do think it is. In two different places, at least. And the first one is in Acts chapter 5. Okay, and what the context here is, what is going on in the church is people are just getting into it with their whole person. They're selling possessions. They're bringing the money.
Right.
They're pooling the money together to do good things, take care of people, and all that kind of stuff. It's really, really happening. Because the Holy Spirit has been so powerfully poured out, right? So in chapter 5, though, verse 1, we read, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife. Now, this was a couple that was in the church.
Right.
They didn't go out there and pull Ananias and Sapphira in off the streets, say, hey, we need a story in the book of Acts. So, you know, I mean, they were believers in the church, okay? And it says, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And the implication is they were letting it be understood that they were giving the whole thing. So there was deception and fraud going on here. In other words, sin. But Peter said, verse 3, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? How does Satan fill the heart of a believer?
Oh, no.
Through deception, through fraud, corruption, but especially deception of the enemy through a sin. Well, this little part here, I mean, if we give like half, or maybe we even give two-thirds, but we just keep this third back. I mean, because, you know, we got to have
something.
Well,
if this
thing
doesn't go right, at least we'll have a little something in the end.
But,
right?
And that'd be fine if they said that's what they were doing.
Right.
Nobody was there saying, hey, you got to give the whole thing. They were letting it be understood that they were given the whole thing. There's where the sin was. And through that sin, Peter said, Satan filled their hearts.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what that means to you, but that means to me, demons can be in a Christian.
Right.
And Peter said, while it remained, was it not your own after it was sold? Was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And you know the rest of the story. Ananias keels over. Sapphira comes in later. Same thing happens to her. And they take him out and bury him.
And also has her own opportunity to say, yeah, you know what? We did lie. Please forgive me.
Right.
But she doesn't.
But
she,
neither one of them do.
She hangs on to the story.
To the lie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so the very important thing to learn from that is demons, they have to have an entry point. And I've gathered from your testimony, Jenny, part of it probably happened, maybe all of it, back in those traumas you had in your young years with those rapes and those sexual exploitations of you and the trauma that came to your soul with all of that. It's and those are open doors, open windows for demon spirits to come in.
Yeah.
And they do. But praise God, when someone with power and authority together rises up, they have to go in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
We just don't give them another option.
Right.
Coexistence is no longer an option. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Anything else, Jenny, you'd like to tell us here as we come to toward the end of the program here today?
Well, you answered my question already, so that thank you very much.
Which was?
About the oppression, demon oppression.
Yeah, yes.
And I was going to ask you that, so you answered. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I think that's so important to understand. Satan does not own anybody. Jesus bought the whole human race with his precious blood. With his death on the cross, he bought every boy and girl, every man and woman. Positionally, every one of them could be saved. But they have to say yes, and they have to repent, and they have to come to Jesus. Okay? So the lie that Satan can own people, and of course we've told that on this podcast before, how I... learned it right in front of my eyes, and that was at Kahama with that madman that we ministered to there 13 years ago when he ran to our platform instead of running away.
Right.
That's the same thing that the madman of Gadara did in Mark chapter 5. He ran to Jesus instead of running away from Jesus. If Satan owned them and controlled them completely, they wouldn't have done that. They would have run away, but they didn't.
Yeah.
And those are the two most severe cases I'm familiar with.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. And I came running to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
And you are free.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
No, you're one of Satan's worst. You're one of Satan's worst nightmares, Jenny.
Oh yeah. Don't I know
it? That's right.
Hey, I've got your number now.
Amen.
Hey, so what I'd like to do, I think, is just kind of bring a conclusion to today's podcast. Jenny, I'm curious if you'd like to join us again tomorrow. And what I really want to kind of lean on tomorrow is the evangelist. What happened abroad and what has been happening here in the States, just even in these last 96 hours that you've been home. Like, what's taking place, to be able to talk about the boldness that's come upon you?
Yeah.
And then I kind of want to talk a little bit about also about your new ministry plans and how you're planning on moving forward, and just to bring encouragement to people that have been in the Word for 20 years and people that just got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know, yesterday. God continues to do this work. And we are experiencing and seeing this with our very eyes. So can you come back tomorrow? Would there be something that we can do?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. So, Lord, we just thank you today for these precious listeners that have tuned in here.
Yes, Lord.
And, Lord, I just pray blessing over them, blessing on the increase of their knowledge and understanding.
Yes.
And teaching and inspiration about the truths of the Word of God, and especially about the spirit world, Lord, that has been put out here today. And Lord, I thank you, there is no reason to fear anything from Satan's kingdom. And we just cast down fear today in the name of Jesus. We just let the perfect love of the Father come. Perfect love casts out fear. And Lord, we just thank you that that perfect love is coming out on the hearts of people even now as they're listening. And we just call for that as they open up to your way of love and power, Lord, that it'll expand and expand and expand. We just declare, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks. Amen. For-